Thank you very much. specific. Thank you for keeping it separate. I think we know each other, isn't it?
Yes. Very well.
Okay. Apologies.
Sunday in question. Now, just to clarify the standing of the presentation is not talking to the actual. It is actually talking to what we are planning to do. What we have been able to do, achieve or not achieve, is going to be reflected on the annual report that will be presented to the select committee at an appropriate time that the committee will deem it necessary for us to come back and present that annual plan, no, annual report. And we'll do that without any hesitation and without any complaint. So I thought perhaps that distinction is important, because when we're presenting, it's not coming out quite clear. We are speaking here on what we are planning to do, not on what we have done. But there is a bit of correlation, because it takes into account what has evolved and been done in the previous financial year, and what we intend to do in the new financial year. Hence the plan. Basically, it does the outline of the plan, which is going to just broad mandate and progress of the department, the program plan and targets for 2013 in the form of specific programs, administration, human resource development planning, monitoring, coordination, university education, vocational and continuing education and training, skills development, as well as the financing, which will actually enable us to fulfill all what we are planning to do, resources, permitting, and other related imperatives. Now, look at the mandate. Basically, we are there to expand access to education and training for the youth, and we always make an emphasis to complete this, that it's not just access for the sake of it's access in actual fact and success. Because if we're not doing and paying attention to success, access is going to be constrained because of the people get into the system and come in there. We also seek to ensure that there is adequately capacitated educational institutions for effective provision of or facilitation of learning, and also increase the number of students successfully entering the labor market upon completion of training. Hence, we are also working quite very hard with our institutions, industry, which is expressing itself in various forms of engagement, including the National Skills Accord, the notion of the work integrated learning, which is facilitating the realization of this key and critical mandate. Because we're not training for unemployment, we're training our youth in order to access employment with relative ease, or alternatively be able to engage in self-employment by themselves based on the skills that they acquired. And also we seek to ensure that colleges with a curriculum responsive to the demand of the marketplace, with a special emphasis on artisan training, credible institutional mechanisms for skills planning to support an inclusive economic growth path. A member would remember that we are actually executing this in partnership with Human Sciences Research Council, with the main project of ensuring that we do develop a reliable data set for skills planning in terms of forecasting as well as determining the demand and the supply of skills in the country, but moving on the basis of reliable existing data, which at the present moment we do not have. We rely on the big also ensuring the expansion of research development and innovation capacity for economic growth and social development, and also highly effective professional efficient administration informed by good corporate governance and practice. There are a lot of interventions that we're making, but we'll be talking about them in concrete terms in the annual report as well, as we'll be reporting as to what have we actually done on this. But the key highlight among others is in the extreme instances where things are really not going well in terms of governance and administration, and where there is overwhelming evidence of the wastage of the state resources that have been pumped into this institution, we put processes of putting an institution under administration and work turn around from that standpoint. And also in relation to FET colleges, after we realized huge weaknesses in the financial systems, we had to partner with SAICA in order to deploy a qualified chartered accountant to be CFOs for at least a period of 2 years to actually ensure that we improve the capacity and understanding of FET colleges insofar as financial planning, as well as utilization of financial resources to be based on credit systems that have to be put in place. Just briefly, progress thus far, which in the main informs the overall strategic approach to our plan for 2013-2014, because it's not a plan that has come out of a vacuum. It's a plan which is premised from the existing, from the actual, into where we wanted to take it. Student headcount enrollment at university increased by 12% from 807,779 to 937,455. The first time enrollment of universities increased by 9% from 164,528 to 179,101. Graduates from universities increased by 11% from 144,810 to 160,299. That is those who passed. Graduate in engineering sciences increased by 9% from 8,424 to 9,193. Graduate in human health and animal health increased by 10%. From 7,341 to 8,049. We are putting these figures, Chair, as informed by the request of this committee that at times it doesn't help just to speak of percentages. It would be important to actually tie up the percentages and how we've arrived to them on the basis of the actual figures. Because if you have got two students and 50% passed, it means 1-1. And if they both pass, that is 100%. The meaning, therefore, is almost 100% of nothing in real terms. So that's why the emphasis on this figure. Graduates in natural and physical sciences increased by 59% from 3,458 to 5,580. It's 59% change, which would actually mean if in the student committee hands were clapped, it's something that the progress the country is making on this would have deserved for that, but this is not the place for clapping of hands. Now it may it happen. because this achievement should be actually understood from the standpoint of the commitment of terrorism by the present government with a view of improving the life situation of the citizens that entrusted you to be their custodian of their future. And to us, it's not a small thing when that is being realized under your stewardship as well as your guidance. That's why, by the way, of emphasis on that. And again, research master graduates increased by 26% from 4,179 to 5,271. This has been informed, Chair, if I may just refresh the committee, by a realization of the challenge of aging academics in the country and the rate at which we are losing academics from the system, which the better response is to increase the production of postgraduates at master's as well as PhD level. So we are responding to that as the mandate of this parliament, amongst other things. The doctoral graduate increased by 59% from 1,373 to 1,576. The initial teacher education graduate increased by 60% from 6,315 to 10%, 133. Another giant leap in the product scheme of things. Network students bursary refunded at FET College increased from 318 in 2010 to 1.98 billion in 2013, targeting 222,817 students. I think this is another area that the Select Committee has to seriously take cognizance of, insofar as it is demonstrating the seriousness of the elected representatives in addressing the shortage of skills in the country, and how then the elected representatives are demonstrating that in practical terms on the basis of the amount and the nature of resources that are pumped into the system in the first instance. And I think it's something that has to be acknowledged. 318, 2010, now is close to 2 billion as a result of that acknowledgement. Now, the headcount enrollment in FET colleges increased by 24% from 345,566 in 2010 427,423 in 2011 and 656,690 in 2012. Now, we have introduced a draft framework for lecturer qualification for FET colleges for public comment. And we would really like to invite the committee members to pay attention to this, and their advice would be quite important for us, because this program will be introduced for the first time in the context of the program qualification mix offering in our tertiary institutions, insofar as developing and training lecturers on lecturing and offering programs in FET colleges. It's non-existent at the present moment in time. We've introduced a draft, established the quality counseling for trade and occupation, that is 2CTA, and National Artisan Moderation Board, of which Steve will elaborate on it. The artisan candidates found competence increased by 60% from 8,238 to 13,168. Another giant thing. 3,400 graduates received work integrated learning in 2011. There are plans as well for this financial year, but we're talking about the total of around 11,000, and substantial number of spaces have been identified through interaction with national government departments, provincial governments, with municipalities, as well as state-owned enterprises, and funds for funding that have been solicited already. They are available, and it will be costing the state in the margin of around 348 million to realize that. And these are graduates in the main from FET College, into ensuring that we ensure workplace integrated learning and an exposure to workplace by graduates from this institution. Artisan trade test pass rate has improved from 41% to 43% in 2009 and 2011 respectively. We have entered into 8 bilateral and multilateral agreements with other countries, with a view, amongst other things, of augmenting the resources that the state is making available to ease access and expansion of the system, and also learning best practices in terms of system as well as program offering. Quite a numerous question we can talk to in that regard. 138 international scholarships offers are being afforded to South African students at the present moment to augment their resources. Now, sir, with your permission, we'll be getting into programs, and I would ask each branch to take the committee through on the specific plan going forward, the branch. I don't know whether I heard the chair indicating that we should try to present, taking into account time, but we must be clear in what we are saying. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members. I'm going to present Program 1, which is the administration function of the department. The details in respect to the...
A minute. It's first chair now. With your delegation of power, your delegation must end at 11:30.
It means no elaborated introduction or what have you. Let's be focused in terms of the presentation. That's the request from the end.
Thank you, Dean. The details in respect to Program 1 in the APP are from page 26 to 32. My presentation will highlight the key targets that have been set up for the 2013 financial year. The purpose of the program is to provide overall management and administration of the department. In 2012-13, our estimated performance on selected indicators, if I may start with the vacancy rate, we estimated our performance to be at 15% in the department out of 1,028 funded schools in the department. Our target for 2013-14
or on ICT governance. In respect to the payment of invoices, you know, of the service provider, the target that has been set by government is 30 days from the date of receipt of the invoices. We have set that target for 2013, but for 2013-14, we're aiming to reduce that from 30 days to 28 days to pay invoices. The next one is in respect to the queries, complaints received in the call center. Our target for 2012-13 was 100% response and closed cases from the presidential hotline as well as from the departmental call center. For 2013-14, we targeting 100% as well in respect to that one. Lastly, Chairperson, in the case of disciplinary cases, a target that has been set by government is 90 days to resolve disciplinary cases, and we have set that as a target for the department as well. And for 2013-14, we're also aiming to adhere to that 90-day period. Of course, attempting to reduce it from 90 days. As we go to the risk and the...
Maybe provide a reason to put that into the risk mitigation.
I think that's what also we're interested in. Just budget all those things, all your politicians by a half 11.
In respect to the filling of vacancies, the risk we have there, Chairperson, is the inadequacy of the budget to fill vacancies, and there is a continuous engagement with National Treasury with a view to getting additional funding. In respect to the instability of the ICT network environment, we will be appointing an external service provider to provide network and desktop support for a period of 3 years. We also have a risk in the Department of Unsuitable Office Accommodation, and we will be facilitating a process with Public Works Department to build offices for the department. Supply chain management, in respect to adherence to that, we are embarking on a program of training and exposing our managers on SCM policies, as well as ensuring that there are policies and procedures and internal controls controls that have been put in place so as to avoid non-compliance with the SCM policy framework. Thank you very much.
So 5%, Nancy? 5 minutes.
Okay. Good morning, colleagues. I'm going to talk about the plans by Program 2, which is the Human Resource Development Planning and Monitoring Coordination Branch. And it's on page 4 of the PowerPoint you have in front of you. So the second PowerPoint. The first thing is that is about the coherent career management system. As reported last year, we will be developing a career management system, but for this financial year, we are strengthening its development and its implementation, so we'll be producing two further modules that will provide additional information to the public on career issues. We hope to target to reach career users, 3 million radio users, 28,000 persons at exhibitions, 15,000 persons to access the helpline, and 120,000 to reach the portal. So they're very tight, specific targets that have been set about who is supposed, who is expected to use this. On the issue of legislation, our legal services section will ensure that all the legislation that is required in order for the department to function effectively in terms of policies and regulations, that these will all be drafted. On page 5, on the question of the integration of the data management system, information system, last year we promised to put to integrate 80% of the information from colleges and HEIs, and this year we plan to bring in the 21 CETAs as well and to complete the balance of the 20% of the colleges and institutions, HEIs. With regards to the quality councils, the three quality councils and SACWA, we will be developing ministerial guidelines on the priorities of the minister for these quality councils. We plan to produce a research bulletin on cutting-edge issues for the, on the post-school system, and this is to draw attention to recent research that's happening worldwide as well as locally, but also to use it as an emphasis to encourage research inside the country. We'll also be providing an annual update of the integrated higher education and training management system. Page 5, the second slide. A lot of work being planned for the international relations section. Last year, a framework for the international relations section of the department was prepared, and this year we will prepare an implementation report of the framework. We will provide that by the end of the financial year. There would be a document that provides the plans that are going to be scheduled for engagement with individual countries as well as with multilateral agencies, as well as a report of those engagements and plans. That will be compiled. A publication on international cooperation will be compiled this year. We will be updating the database of international engagements that are being undertaken by post-school institutions. So all the international engagements being undertaken by universities, by FET colleges, by AIDS centers and so on, will be in this updated database. So we'll have a holistic picture in the country of what is going on there. Then the other one is about dealing with the litigations against the DHET or the minister. These will be dealt with 100%. Last year we reported that we were going to do a social inclusion policy framework, which has been done, and this year we will be preparing a report on the implementation of the framework. On the issue of mitigation and risk, we will ensure that there are policies, procedures and internal controls in place to ensure that the inclusion framework is implemented. We will ensure that we have, there's always a problem of reliability of the data, validity, integrity of the data, and we will have to ensure that we put things in place like developing the information policy, like developing information standards to ensure that our data is validated, there are good internal controls, and they're trusted, they're credible. And in order to ensure that the public have access to proper guidance services, we will make sure that we have a good web-based system and that it's operationalized by then. The risk of the credibility of the strategic plan will be mitigated by ensuring that planning support is provided to the branches in the department by conducting workshops and ensuring good planning processes within the department. One of the risks of the work of the department is that the different components of the school system, not school, the post-school system, is not fully articulated, something that we all know, you probably are aware of yourself. And the minister himself has driven the need for ensuring that we have a strong articulated system. So to mitigate this and to ensure that all the different components are articulated and individual learners are able to have proper pathways of learning, we will be producing three frameworks to ensure and promote the articulation between the different components of the system. Thank you very much, Chair.
Oh, thank you very much. University, I suppose it would be about 10 minutes or 5 subjects.
Thank you, DG. Honourable Chair, honourable members, the full details are in the annual performance plans on page 46 to 56. I'll just highlight some issues in the presentation. The purpose of the university education branch is to develop and coordinate policy and regulatory frameworks for an effective and efficient university education system and to provide financial support to universities, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, of the National Institute for Higher Education. We have six budget sub-programs which are highlighted, and just in terms of those programs, we've highlighted a few key activities that we will be undertaking during the coming year. We will be starting with an enrollment planning cycle for 2014 to 2019, which is quite a massive exercise that we do with all our universities to look at the enrollment for that five-year period in all aspects of higher education. We will be establishing the three new universities, one in the Northern Cape, one in Mpumalanga, and the last one is the new Health Sciences University that will incorporate the Madunda campus of the University of Limpopo. And then we will be working on the system development for the Central Application Service that the Minister has announced he's intending to put into place across the system to improve applications for university entrance, and that will be extended to the entire post-school system. We are also looking at developing the new framework for university funding, which will be based on the recommendations of the ministerial report that has been finalized and will be published soon. In terms of infrastructure development, there is major infrastructure development that will be going on across the system. It's a continuation of a project, but very importantly, we have focused on improved student housing, and a large amount of the funding has been allocated to that, and particularly for historically disadvantaged institutions. We have a total budget of 26.082 billion that is being transferred to the university sector, and that includes a number of different aspects, but CFO will talk about that in more detail. We will be implementing the Apply Now campaign again this year, and hopefully in a strengthened way. It supports the career advice service that my colleagues spoke about, and really that's about ensuring that our students get to know that they need to apply on time and to get proper advice in relation to that. Also, in terms of teacher education, we are continuing to implement the integrated strategic planning framework for teacher education and development, and the provincial teacher education development committees will become operational this year. They've all been set up, they've had their first meeting, and they will be involved with us in relation to planning for new teacher education enrollment in the system as we go forward. And then, of course, the establishment of the new teacher education campuses. We launched the first campus in Mpumalanga at the beginning of this year, the Sia Bushra campus, the former Ndebele College of Education, and we're currently working in the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo, to identify the further campuses for development. There are feasibility studies that are underway in relation to those campuses so that we are able to get them set up. In terms of our estimated our targets going into this year in terms of actual numbers, we are looking at increasing the number of students enrolled in higher education from 909,716, which was the target last year, to 935,710 this year. And underlying that are the first time enrollments, which will increase to 183,893,000 students. In terms of the establishment of the two new universities, we've spoken about that. That will be happening actually fairly soon. We hope the minister will be gazetting the two new universities in the next month. But everything is on track for these institutions to start up in 2014 with a limited number of students in a few programs, and for the construction of the new building to start by September this year. We have indicated to the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education that we would be willing to do a dedicated presentation in relation to the new universities project, and it might be something we could consider that both committees could be available for. in terms of the teacher education, we have now got 20 public higher education institutions involved in foundation phase teacher education. That is up from 13 that were involved in 2009. And as we go forward and the new campuses come online, we'll have more focus in that area. In terms of foundation provisioning programs, which are there to support underprepared students coming into the university system, we're looking at an increase to 15,200 students for 2013. Some of our equity targets for African students studying at university, we're looking at an increase from 593,260 to 610,357. In terms of gender, we're looking at an increase from 539,596 to 563,509 female students at our university. Also, in support of the FET College Lecturer Program, we are identifying 10 universities that will be supported to develop new qualifications programs for FET College Lecturers. And these are mainly universities of technology and comprehensive universities, which will be able to do this, and will be implementing the new policy, which we're expecting to gazette within the next month. A new indicator is the development of an adult educator qualifications policy. At the moment, we're still working on old policy documents, and with the new changes in adult education, we're needing to improve on that. A draft is already ready on that, and we'll be publishing that for public comment. In terms of our infrastructure development program, we are investing in the 2013 year, a further $2 billion in university infrastructure to support the expansion of the system, and that's going in for a number of different kinds of programs. I spoke about student housing, which is a major focus, but included in this is also a focus on disability and ensuring that all institutions do a proper disability audit so we understand what needs to be done to old buildings. And over time, we will be dealing with that issue. Plus, various priority programs, including engineering, the sciences, teacher education, and so on. In terms of success, the DG indicated earlier that we're not only focusing on expansion in the system, and the previous targets were focusing on that, we are looking at also improving success rates in the system. And here, we have a number of different targets. We are looking at improving the success rate in our higher education studies to 77% in 2013. And obviously, we'll be moving that up year on year as we can through various programs to support the system. That includes foundation provisioning and teaching development. In terms of the number of graduates, we expect the number of graduates to increase to 179,780 graduates in 2013 from 167-odd graduates in 2012. We've also broken this down into the particular target areas, the few areas which have been highlighted that are very important for our democracy. We are looking at an increase to 11,247 graduates in the engineering sciences, 9,006 graduates in human health and animal health, and 10,673 graduates in initial teacher education. Each of these are working towards targets for the 2014 year in terms of the Minister's PME. We should meet in teacher education and overstep actually the mark in terms of the targets, which is quite encouraging. In terms of the issue, the third strategic objective, we have a real feel that it's very important that we deal with the issue of good governance and management in our system. And this is very, we need programs that will build the capacity of our system in relation to this. we have a number of targets here which we set in order to assist us in thinking through the improvement of the system. Specifically, we estimated last year that around about 78% of our institutions did have good management and governance. We are moving that up, that target up to 83% next year. We are hoping to get a number of our institutions that are currently under administration or having problems to have moved in relation to these targets. In terms of private higher education, we have a target there of ensuring that 100% of our registered private higher education institutions do comply with the regulatory criteria. And we work quite hard on this. Every time we notice an institution not complying, we then follow up with that institution. And if there's an illegal program being offered, we report those illegal programs. One of the issues we do have in the system is institutions that start up that are not registered and that offer illegal programs. In terms of our research capacity and productivity, there are a number of targets related to that as well. As you'll notice there, we are talking about increasing in every single target to deal with the issue of improved research capability in the system. We are focused on doing this, particularly in relation to our need to improve the quality and the research capability of our universities, but also for the development of our academics. In terms of risks and mitigation measures, there are a number that we have highlighted here, but it is very important for us that as we look at the whole issue of access to higher education, that we ensure that we provide the right kind of funding support to make sure that the universities can do what we're asking them to do, and then we carefully monitor the system to ensure that they're using this funding adequately. We have new regulations that we are putting in place that we should be debating soon, against which we will be monitoring the system quite closely. In terms of success rates, we are also looking at the particular funding categories that we have, the foundation provisioning and teaching development funds specifically, and monitoring the use of those to improve processes. Good governance and management, we will be developing a good governance model, and part of that will be a number of criteria through which we will be monitoring the system. The issue around research productivity and innovation, we have got the research development grant in place as well, and we've developed criteria around monitoring on those, and we keep an eye on the system in relation to that to ensure that we're able to improve in that area. And then the issue of information planning, it's critical that we have an excellent higher education management information system, and we provide support and advice to institutions on an ongoing basis in order to ensure the quality of our data. And obviously this is integrated into the data collection at a higher level for the ESMA system. Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys. With that, 15 minutes.
Thank you very much, Sydney, honorable members. The purpose of Program 4 is to plan, develop, evaluate, monitor, and maintain national policy programs, assessment practices, and systems for vocational and continuing education and training, including better education and training colleges and both literacy and education and training. It is our strategic objective to increase access to and improve success in programs leading to intermediate and high-level learning by 2014. In order to give effect to this strategic objective, the BRET aims to involve 278,000 learners in their adult education and training centers. This will be an increase from 255,000 planned for last year. We also hope to increase the numbers from 550,000 in the FET colleges to 650,000 enrollment in the same system. Now, another Another important area is the allocation of budget to FEC college students. And to this effect, we're planning to increase the numbers from 180,836,000 in the previous financial year to 222,817, you know, in 2013-2014. Now, on the next 3 slides, honorable members, are a representation of the provincial distribution of the figures that are stated in the previous slide. The first slide talks to the expansion of access to adult education training programs per province, and with the permission of the members, I will not go province by province. The next slide represents the provincial distribution over the expansion of access to ECT colleges per province, and again, with the permission of the members, I will not go province by province. The third slide unpacks the expansion of access to ECT colleges in terms of the NS plus battery allocation per province. So basically, those three slides talk to the initial slide. Now, we will this year develop and have the NASCA learning and teaching support material approved. Last year we piloted the offering of NQF level 5-6 programs in 8 ECT colleges, and this year we will implement the same program in 10 ECT colleges. We will train 128 lecturers, student support services managers, and regional office officials in the comprehensive student support services framework, and for this year it will be 130. Now, we would like also to have 600 lecturers trained to support curriculum delivery in ECT colleges. The figure was 700 last year. We would like to maintain the 16 official training in the new NASCA and the ECT curriculum delivery. Honorable members, the department puts emphasis on the performance of the sector. And in this regard, we strive to increase the certification rate of NCD from an average of 45% targeted for last year to 51% targeted this year. And that should be from NCD level 2 to 4. We also want to increase the performance of the N1 to N3 certification rate from 33% to 43%. The one from N4 to N6 from 40%, to 48% this year. Now, another area that we focus is the pathways in maths and math literacy. And in this regard, we would like to improve the pathways in the two subjects from 28% last year for math, to 49% this year for math, and then 41% for math literacy last year, and to 78% for math literacy in 2013-14. This again is across levels, NCV levels 2 to 4. Now, in terms of certification rate of battery recipients, we would like to improve from an average of 41% for the NCV levels 2 to 4 last year to 46% in 2013-14 for NCV levels 2 to 4. In terms of the NATO program, we would like to improve performance from 40% in the sector of N1 to N3 to 45% for the same level. Now, we would also want to improve from N4 to 6, from 40% to 45% on the same level for 2013-14. Now, we would like to implement training for the AF educators, 3,600 AF educators and ECT college lecturers will be trained for NASCA and GETC. We would like also to amend the national certificate orientation, the development care of that to be undertaken. We would like also by the end of 2013-14 to have an approved and amended national student certificate for adults in out-of-school youth. And then we would like to Now, in terms of the strategic objective on the strengthening of the institutional capacity of vocational education institutions to improve the performance and efficiency, our main anchor here will be human resource development. And to this effect, we would like to, we target to train 150 personnel to support curriculum delivery in adult education and training as well as the FET colleges. We will also target to train 184 personnel in financial management for 2013-14. 300 personnel will be trained in strategic and operational planning, and then 50 college councils will be trained in institutional and corporate governance. 9 public institutions will be identified for declaration as community education and training colleges. And then 6 new FET college campuses will be built. And at this point, I need to indicate honorable members that we put it as it appears in the AP. However, a decision has been taken in the department to actually increase, you know, that number and actually have 12 instead of 6. The background to this target is that the minister in the previous budget speech had indicated that the 12 new campuses will be built over the MPEF, but the trade on increasing access has led the department to take a decision to bring the target forward and build all the 12 campuses in the coming year. Now, we have been in the next slide basically outlined, you know, the 12 campuses and then the provinces in which they will be built. We put it at 14 there, honorable members, because in addition to the 12 that the minister announced in his political speech, there has been further commitment to undertake major refurbishment in 2 additional campuses. And the extent of the refurbishment is actually tantamount to a new campus, both in terms of the scope and the expenditure that will go into that. And therefore, this is why we're now talking 14 campuses, because the others will have to raise, you know, the buildings on the ground and erect new buildings on existing campuses. So that's why they're 14. The next strategic objective is to provide support for the implementation of a monitoring, evaluation and research for the improvement of the vocational education and training subsystem. We have piloted the implementation of the business management system in 8 public FET colleges in partnership with the Dutch, and here we want to roll out the same program, you know, to all the 50 FET colleges in the country. We have an annual survey that we implement, and we would like to have a response, you know, from all the 3,083 adult education and training centers here. We also have the, would like to have the, a model for FET college expansion, you know, implemented, which was expected to be developed in the previous year, and we will be implementing it in the new project. Now, we also offer or implement the annual survey in the private FET colleges. Last year we were targeting to have a response from 490, and this year the same, we would like to have 100% response rate from all the private FET colleges. Now, in terms of the risks and mitigating measures, one of the risks is the limited access to retention of learners in, as well as diversity and quality of programs offered in the institution. And in order to mitigate against this, we have plans to improve the management and administration of college bursary schemes, to increase training and support to FET colleges, lecturers and adult education and training personnel. We would like to undertake a review of the qualification processes, and this will be based on the recommendations of the ministerial task team. Now, we also hope to undertake curriculum reviews and updates of selected national certificates, particularly in the NCV and the Result 191 subject. The intention here is to to make an audit of the curriculum and actually weed out those aspects in the curriculum which do not seem to be relevant anymore, both in terms of being outdated, in terms of the latest economic development, and then replacing those with a curriculum that is more responsive to the current economic and social needs. That's basically the review that we'll undertake. We'd like to have enhanced monitoring for the subsystem, and then of course we will have, you know, investment in the infrastructure development in the way that I have articulated by in terms of the 14, you know, campuses. Now, one of the risks that the subsystem faces is the low pass certification rate in the VCET institution, and for this we'd like to implement and revise the existing student support services framework, which includes, among other things, academic support for learners. We will develop a policy for lecturer professional development. We have been doing it, but we need now an integrated and standardized policy for that across the whole sector. Now, another risk is the lack of adequate integration in terms of planning, funding, and reporting processes and subsystems in the strategic and operational level. And then what we seek to do here is the development of an integrated monitoring, evaluation, and research framework, which is currently underway. We'd also like to standardize the business management system in the SEC colleges. And this is the one that has been rolled out now full scale in all the colleges. Now, in terms of the competency of the other education and training and SET colleges, we will now know the members that the migration of the function of the SET colleges has been completed, you know, for the most part from provinces to the national department, and we think that will give us greater control to be able to focus on interventions in the system. The same will happen for the adult education and the training. Now, one of the risks is the credibility and efficiency of the examination and certification system. And to this effect, what we have done, because most of our challenges resided in the ICT environment, we have since, you know, through the intervention of the minister, obtained permission from cabinet to separate the procure an ICT system to deal with the national examinations and assessment. We are in the process of doing this. Even the next 2 weeks, we should be going out on tender to get a system developed that will speak to the requirements of the modern IT interventions of the examination system. Now, we also will put in place an enhanced ICAS guidelines, and we will put training in place for the effective implementation of this one. One of the limitations we had in our examination data was the lack of requisite skills, you know, within the environment. And we have plans and have identified areas in which we are going to be employing personnel with the requisite skills. We have started already with the appointment of director resulting in the certification who is an IT professional. Now, one of the risks is the inadequate funding for the subsystem. And what we have done to augment our budget is to get into partnerships with donor funding communities and to implement certain programs for the subsystem. On that note, I will thank you very much for that.
Okay, no, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members and DG. I'm not going to go to the purpose of the branch, it's clear, but suffice to mention that we have identified three strategic objectives as skills development, of which I'll talk about the first one, which is the provision of a dynamic interface between workplace and learning institutions. And for us to realize that we have identified some activities that we need to be doing, and 2013-2014, our intention is to increase the number of artisans entering learning nationally from 25,000 in 2012-2013 to 26,000 this current year. not only are we focusing on inputs, but the outputs as well. The artisans that are found competent nationally, we are wanting to increase from 10,000 to 12,000 in 2013-2014. Now, the DG spoke about the FET graduates receiving work integrated learning. Now, this current financial year, our intention is to increase it substantially from 8,500 to 27,279, which will include some of the 11,000 that have not been placed, and the work is moving with speed. Now, the pass rate, we're increasing pass rate from 45,000 that were estimating in 2012-2013, 45% to 48% in 2013-2014. Now, over and above that, we have identified a new indicator, which in the 2013-2014, we're intending to publish a scarce skills list so that the entire country could know what skills are scarce and critical. Now, the second new indicator that we want to do, wanting to integrate our three subsystems. So the CETAs will be given a mandate that at least they must get into a partnership or partnership agreements with both universities and FET colleges so that they could discuss, they could agree on the work integrated learning and the curriculum offering. Now, the second strategic objective that we have identified as, for ourselves is the alignment of skills development outputs to the needs of the workplace. Now, we're wanting to continue with the same indicator that we had last year, that the threat plans of the CETAs should be approved by the minister. And over and above that, we should analyze them in line with the sector skills plan, so that the threat plan should talk to the sector's skills plan that the CETAs have come up with. Now, communication is one thing that we are still wanting to continue addressing, that at least for CETA fora engagement, whose intention is to address the issues of performance of the CETAs, governance, and all the issues related to financial management. Now, the third strategic objective, which is the last one, is the provision of funding to support projects that are of national priorities. Now, from National Skills Fund, the amount that was earmarked for 2012-2013 on project was 2.3 billion, and 2013-2014, we're increasing it to 2.4 billion. That will be to support the projects, which last year or previous financial year, the estimation was 262. That the number of projects that we are intending to have or to support in the current year is 350. Not only the projects, also the learners who will be the recipients of the training is going to be increased from 32,179 to 40,000 from NSF. Now, lastly, Chair, the risks and the mitigation. The risk that we have as a country is the misalignment between skills development outputs and the needs of the workplace. And for that, this continuous engagement that we have with the CETAs, so that the CETAs could also advise the FET colleges of what the skills demands are, so that we don't have a mismatch between the supply and the demand. So that's the risk, and these agreements that we're intending that CETAs should engage with both universities and FET colleges will be able to address that. The second risk is the critical skills attraction and retention. It's increasingly becoming difficult for us to compete with the private sector because some of the skills that we have, particularly at Tindlela, the private sector is taking away all the kind of skills that we have. But the mitigation will be for us to continue developing the staff and training more. That's the only way in which we can compete. The integration of the systems is still one problem, but as a department you are addressing, because the systems of the CETAs do not talk to the systems of the department. But as a department, there's a process that we have put in place so that we integrate all the IT system from our subsystems. The quality of research output. Then also ourselves, we have identified that we need to have some researchers within the department, and the kind of training will be capacitating our staff also to have these research capabilities. Thanks, Chef.
Final 10 minutes.
Thank you, Jim. Chair, the first slide on financial information is just to indicate that for the 2013 NTF, the department's budget is still based on the original five programs as approved. charge against the National Revenue Fund, which is for the funding of the NSF and the various theatres. If you look at the department's allocation for 2013-14, it's therefore in two parts, the normal budget funds, which are 34.322 billion rand, and then the direct charges or the skills levy, 12.403 billion rand. The normal budget funds, if we exclude the skills levy, then increases at an annual average rate of 7.8%. We have 31.6 billion in 2012-13, and we will stand at 39.5 billion in 2015-16. The amount for this year, 13-14, is 34.3 billion. That is an increase of 8.7% or 2.7 billion rand from the allocation that we had last year. Now that increase, although it looks substantially high, it's mainly for the additional financial support to universities, to our FET colleges, and for student funding through the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. So it's not that the Department for Administration just received an additional 2.7 billion rand. In the third bullet, over the 2013 NTEF, we have also an increase in our baseline allocation. For this year, we have 300.5 million extra. Next year, 14-15, we'll have 693 million extra. And in the last financial year for this NTEF period, 2015-16, we have an increase of 1.8 billion rand. Now, it's important to note that even these increases are mainly for the FET colleges, for improved service conditions, and then also for capital infrastructure improvements, especially for the two new universities that will be established in Northern Cape and Mpumalanga. The allocations for those over the 3 years, current year we have 150 million, it increases to 500 million in this second year of the NTEF and 1 billion in the third year. We can go to the next slide, just to reflect a little bit on the direct charges, which is the revenue from the levy that is transferred to the NSF and the CETAS. Now, that increases quite substantially also. You'll see there over the NTEF period at an annual average rate of 9.1%. Last year we had 11.4 billion and it will reach 14.8 billion in 2015-16. Now, that levy is distributed in the 80-20 ratio according to the legislative framework. So CETAS will receive 80% and for 2013-14, that amounts to 9.922 billion, and the 20% portion that goes to the NSF is 2.481 billion. The next slide just reflects very quickly on the five programs and the increase in the allocations. As you can see, we show you the adjusted appropriation for last year, 2012-2013, and what the allocations look like per program, as well as the direct charges at the bottom over the MTF period. If we can in the next slide just focus specifically then on this year's budget, 2013-14, right at the bottom, as indicated in previous slides, you'll see the total allocation to the department, the subtotal of 34.322 billion, and then the direct charges that added to that 12.4 billion, and the total allocation for the department being 46.7 billion rand. At the top, administration, 200.6 million, which is the overall management and administration of the department. And as you can see, Chairperson, committee members, that it's only about 0.6% of the total budget of the department. University education, the third line item, the biggest program in the department, 28.3 billion. It is under that program that you'll find the subsidies to the universities as well as to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme in terms of the bursaries that goes to universities, and then specifically, I think, for your interest, also for the FET colleges, and the portion that goes to the FET colleges this year would be 1.988 billion rand. The The next one is vocational and continuing education and training. The current year allocation, 5.6 billion. Under that program, it also includes the funding for FET colleges. First of all, the conditional grant that goes to the various provinces for the funding of the provincial activities linked to the FET colleges, which is in total 2.443 billion rand. And then, of course, the FET college subsidies, which is the normal administration at the FET college level, which is now through the national funding norms for FET colleges, and that will amount this year to 3.013 billion rand. On the next slide, just the same information, just per item. Also, just to reflect, if we look at transfers and subsidies, which is the third line item there, the 46.1 billion, that includes the FET conditional grant, as you can see, the 2.442 billion that we referred to earlier. The NISPA subsidies are included under departmental agencies, the allocation there for public entities of 5.8 billion, which includes the NISPA bursaries for FET colleges. And then the next line item just below universities, non-profit education institutions, which is the 3 billion rand, which includes the FET college subsidies. Then, in terms of the funding of the FET college sector, I think just to reflect on that very quickly so that you can see the trend since last year and over the MTF period. The conditional grant to provinces, you'll see last year we had 4.8 billion rand, it drops to 2.4 billion rand. The line below shows the asterisks at the bottom. As from this year, from 1 April 2013, the reason for that drop is a shift in funding because we will now, from this year, directly pay the subsidies to the FET colleges. It's no longer part of the conditional grant that flows to provinces. We are now personally and directly involved and responsible for that. So if you look at the total, you can see that total funding for the FET sector increases from 4.8 billion last year to 5.4, almost 5.5 billion this year. It's going up to 5.796 billion next year, and in the third year of the MTF, it's 6.120 billion rand. Thank you, Chair. We don't reflect any risk or mitigating measures because if there's no money to do a lot of things with, there cannot be risk.
Thank you very much. You're on the spot. Your time is over.
Yeah, thank you, sir. We have still and members, honorable members, we always try not to support on the instructions of the committee. Thank you very much.
Since 11:30, members, I'll give you each 5 minutes. So that 5 minutes you can ask any questions, many questions, but within your time limit, 5 questions. Makunyane, honorable, good, honorable Ranto.
Thank you, Sir President. I just want to have one comment. We have to consider our sitting as a committee so it's accommodating the political leaders of this department. One comment. Also, I think they will also consider that in the department when we do consider it here as the committee. The department is per this report. Let me welcome their presentation, and it looks very good. But I've got a concern in the establishment or in the building of the FET collection. People are moving, and it's something that is happening within our community. We recently saw it on TV that people were moving from one area as in Nasho to closer to town, and they moved in numbers. in number. That is why we have the overflow in our in one school that they mentioned. They said the schools, the teachers are there, but there are no classes anymore. We get 100 and something in one classroom, 100 and something of students. People are moving. I'm worried. Did the department do a survey where the communities are really found, where this FET college are really needed? Sugarfly area of tax break and I'm worried about the Mount Fletcher and the other areas around the Mount Fletcher area. And also, Chairperson, the second maybe concern or question is the labour market issue. I'm on the mandate of the department. The labour market is changing every now and then. And do you have a strategy on looking exactly on what the country will need in future when we develop when we develop the students or we develop the children on skills? Because I'm thinking of the years when everybody was doing management, and now we are sitting with managers that cannot have e-learning or cannot have they cannot have work. They can't access work because we've got so many managers, and they develop themselves to other managerial skills. So I'm just worried about that. And also, Chairperson, I think this is the last question that I have in the slides that have a mathematical literacy that seems to have dropped in 2013. Can the department explain to us what is the cause of the drop and how the department will ensure that the results are better in 2013-2014? What are the programs in place to improve the math results across the level? And also, the department is giving us just a cut across slide, but it doesn't mention which provinces are affected on this slide and which colleges are affected on the slide of the drop off.
Thank you.
And
I'm Ron
Hasmet
from the
Many Limits.
No, it's only one minute.
Let me also take this opportunity to commend the department for the identification of the new FET supervisor to be established. I'm also excited to see step 8 on the list. And also, I'm very happy to see that. Yeah, I think my colleague here is correct to check whether there is any research that has been done to see the exact need that is required on this area or another idea. And another question, I would like the department to elaborate on the IT, the instability of the IT network environment, and what support for the taking to elaborate what are the challenges you are experiencing around this particular program. And can the department also tell us how do the regional offices that are established will contribute in the overall performance of the department? And what are the plans for these similar offices to be introduced in all other provinces? And another question is on university education. Has the department made provision in the current funding in preparation for the opening of the two universities in January 2014? And how is the opening of the two new universities? findings and recommendations of the task team on student accommodation, what are developments with regards to student residence at university, and also the findings? Okay, let me stop there.
Very good.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My first question is in connection with the artisan, and especially the boiler maker. We are in the education, not the education, the health sector, that there is a problem in that relationship with people there. What is the current situation in the higher education department to train those people? And then the other thing is also in connection with the vacancy rate. You plan to improve your vacancy rate, reduced to 10%, from 15% to 10%. Now, how many posts are you referring to? And those posts you plan to fill is a post funded by the department? And what is the situation for in connection with the other percentage of those posts? Funded posts or unfunded posts? Yes. Then, Honourable Chairperson, the other one is the student housing. Excuse me. The other one is in connection with the student housing. What is the information in connection with the performance of addressing this problem in the student housing? You already identified the problem. Now I want to find out what is the percentage of addressing that problem in the student house, to supply the students with housing or accommodation for the study. Then I'm actually looking forward to the briefing on the two universities. I think that we must capture. Please, thank you. Then the other one is the training of the educators, the adult educators. Do you have already that program implemented, and that will those students come from the different schools, or are the plans developed in this connection separate to try to find students outside the education system, the schools, and like teachers and so on? Or are you actually went, or did you already went out to the different schools to speak to the teachers in that connection? And then the other one is, you will read that one. Let me go to the other, that is in connection with the bursaries. Now, the headcount enrollment in the FET colleges for 2012 and 2013 were 550,000. Now you want to improve to 650,000 headcount. Now the bursaries to those students only available to 122,800. Now, bearing in mind the 650, now, I actually can see there will be a problem for a whole lot of students to supply them with bursaries. What are your plans in this connection to improve on this? Because mostly our students are coming from communities where the income is very low. And that is my concern. Now, Honourable Chairperson, the other one is in connection with, let me just go to the last one. I only got 1 minute or 8 minutes.
Now the sum you use for dividing your money, the normal fund is 34.3 billion and the direct charges is 12.4 billion. Now in connection with the NIST fund, it's a 80-20% percentage factor you use between the CETAs and the NSF. Now in the NSF, there are a lot of students actually in this connection, actually at the FET colleges and also in universities. Now, the 80-20% ratio will have a problem. Now, can you just say, tell us as a community, is it possible to revise this 80-20%? Because there's 80% to CETA and 20% to NSF. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Sorry for this extra seconds. I will talk a little bit less than you. I must first say I'm very proud of your time management system. I wanted to do it through SEC or some high education system. I have to just keep on with this. I will be very proud of you if you can let this filter through to the rest of the party. Yes, thank you, Honorable Chair. Sorry, ma'am. I will pause the time. I will pause the time and take my time when the members are finished.
No. Can we withdraw that?
I'll withdraw that, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Yes, I would just like to know on the graduates, quickly on the university education, on the engineering science and natural physical science. I need just to know on the quality of the students that you get from high school. Will that not be a problem for you? As we do know, there is a problem at the moment with the standard that goes to varsity. Will that not be a problem for you guys to eventually get those higher figures at the end of the day? That's the one question I want to ask. Second question I would like to ask is about CETAs. If you can please clarify on CETAs. What's happening to CETAs? Are all of the CETAs continuing? Are they performing? The NQF levels as well. One of the speakers spoke about the NQF levels. I'd love to know about how they've been changed around on the certain grades on FET and universities. And then learnership programs, I would also like to know how does the learner, is there any effect on learnership programs according to the new budget? Does it go to the FET? Is it, are some going to go to employers? You know, the funding mechanism on that, I would like to know what that is about. I did ask about the CETAs. And I've got 3 minutes left and I'd like to know what's happening with the Northern Cape University. If I can get some more input from that, especially as some of our colleagues already asked on the accommodation of students, specifically in the Northern Cape, and then as well, I see that it's already from 2014 operation, and I'd like to know if this university will be finished in time, because I believe if I look at the mental health hospital in the Kimberley region, it's taken 4 or 5 years and it's not even complete yet. And the institution like the university, I believe, is just as big. And I really don't know if the time will be there to finish it. So I've still got 2 minutes. Thank you, ma'am.
You don't have that 2 minutes. Your 2 minutes that remains,
Thank you very much for being generous. And on the risk and mitigation measures of the mention here on equitable and applied education opportunities not increased. I would like to know whether the department has had any opportunity to study the policies and new university entrance policies of this institution, and whether they comply with whether the regulations. education or the education of the department, because I have a sense that they develop them to suit to their own personal development. But I think the department will tell us whether they have had an opportunity to study those policies at least and the basic of all the institutions.
Okay, then it's my time. I will start with the. My first one will be on. You have your plan of 38,521 graduates in engineering services from this year, whatever. Then you have your targets there. What I would ask is there any mechanism that you are having in place in terms of placement? Either placement one, two, the students that have graduated as engineers are crying outside to say, there's a notion that they are not engineers or we're running short of engineers. Whereas, I don't know whether there is something to do after that, I don't know, but there is that thing that they do before they get full employment. So there's that problem that is a stumbling block. So they are there, but not given an access or opportunity to do those things, so that then they can be marketable or they can be employed. So the placement strategy to have it. For mandate of housing, we are running short of engineers to do infrastructure and also project management. Maybe in line with that, in housing we have close to 12 FET colleges, 6 universities, and a lot of industrial areas. I mean, you name them, Ugrulem is a hub of industry. However, Gauteng also contributes a higher level of unemployment. And the population in Gauteng is 12.2, and out of the 12.2, we have youth between 20 to 39 that are highly unemployed. Do you, as the department, maybe engage with those business people, the FET colleges and universities, in terms of exposing and also developing relevant skills and or qualifications that will make them to be employed? I mean, everybody comes to housing, however, and all these businesses are there. However, it is faced with high level of unemployment. The other one is on the CETA. The member has been raised it to say, currently there is an impasse between CETA, Public Service Minister, and the Water and Water and Environmental Affairs. You are also coming in, you are saying you are going to employ your own service provider. Instead of dealing or raising the problems that you are experiencing, and then so that those problems are being addressed, rather than leave it to the state agents. Leave it, they continue those problems, and you all, as department, go your way in terms of employing your own service provider. The other one is on your target on the adult education employment. You have targets on your housing, it's 33,000. I've given you the 36 just now. Why? What informs you that there's 3,000, the 47 on this Cape and whatever, whereas most of the people are in housing, and as they are highly employed also, there's a problem of adult education on skills, American skills. The other one is on the labor focus. Yeah. The minister has been talking about establishing a student registration center. You know the right, the correct name. Central application office. There is currently a labor broker, as a former unionist, I'll call it like that, but it calls itself, I don't know, facilitator of some sort. It has agreements with universities and high schools. What it then, does to students, it forces them to pay 150 rand and then say, give us your application, so that we will then send them to the universities, and we are not going to be, we are not going to be affected by any university if we are not paying the 150 rand. It's unacceptable. Preying on innocent, uninformed students, and then taking the money. I googled it. I found that it is an Irish company. It started that thing in Ireland, and now it is here. That is purely labor broking and exploiting of poor people. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Of course, the questions that have been asked are quite substantial, and I think they are actually helping us to look quite introspectively of the target as well as the plan that we have developed for this financial year. But to come closer to explaining a bit on the critical questions that the members are asking. What we have done in the first year, we have conducted a highly scientific research in the country in terms of mapping out the existing post-school education and training facilities, universities, ICT colleges, and other related facilities. Now, the picture that is emerging is that there is a high concentration of the existence of post-school education and training institutions, mainly in urban areas. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the outlying area, we found that a student has to travel a distance of about 350 kilometers before coming across anything like a post-school education and training facility.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pose critical questions, therefore, as to what it will do. Now, the geographic spread, the vastness of the country and state, urban and rural, the transport logistics that are available, the province, region, and community, the proximity of these facilities to the respective community. Now, having done that survey, it therefore informed our planning. And we actually related this to other government strategies. Rural development in the main, IPEP 2, the new growth path, as to what is in the offering, as well as in terms of the new infrastructure rollout. Now, what is also coming out quite evident in terms of the scientific investigation that we have conducted is that the Department of Higher Education and Training is not going to succeed just by itself in the provision and improving quality of curriculum and program offering in this institution without other departments coming on board. For instance, in some institutions, it takes you about a year in trying to acquire a competent deputy vice chancellor, academic, or what have you. Because what is happening, when the academics are considering the acceptance of employment, what do? facilities that at least every child should be exposed to, and thirdly, how is the infrastructure there as well as service delivery in general? Would I like to subject myself to that situation? So it's one thing that we have said to government that we need a holistic approach, not a stand-alone approach in addressing some of these challenges that are confronting us. Therefore, what has informed us the establishment of these new campuses is their need. And there is delivering rural bias. And the talk of state trade, you know, and us. That's the first thing. We've conducted research quite intensively, and we're satisfied that we're on the right track until proven otherwise. The labor market intelligence. We have established that in the country, we don't have a credible data set that would inform the country better to plan the skill provision informed by the demand and supply. Now, what we are working on the fragmented and anecdotal evidence which is there, but how then do we begin to systematize and establish a credible mechanism that would assist the country as a whole to plan better? We work out a concept document of what we would like to see in the context of the vision and the mandate of the department. After having done that, then what would be the critical partner that can actually assist in taking us through this journey? Hence the partnership with Sciences Research Council, Human Sciences Research Council. But it's not a relationship and a partnership with HSRC as a stand alone. If I'm correct, there are about 14 sub-themes. One focusing on skill focusing, and that is doing that. All research institutions and units in the country, based in our university, that have proven to be a very good track record, have been pulled. The research capacity of the country as a whole has been put into this. That's where that we are actually doing. Meanwhile, we are using the information which is available. That is the intensity of this project, because we don't want to come back as we move. If I may just take up to perhaps another question. University policies, are they compatible with what the department would like to consider? The basis on which institutions develop policies are found on the basis of the white paper in education and the relevant government policies. programs that are compatible with the objectives and the strategy of the country. But in some of them, there is very little which is expressed in terms of practice in relation to those strategies and policies of the institution. The manner in which we responded to this challenge, we convened a summit of all stakeholders in the sector. We had a declaration, but the most important thing I would like to draw the attention of the members, we then established the high capacity ministerial oversight committee to actually get deeper per institution on this matter. It's led by Professor Mahova. We were once attempted to know about this, and I didn't hear any member of the CF committee coming into our defense on this particular matter. But we stood our ground, we stand. We are not going to worry because it is in the interest of the country and for the good of the country. So that is the short I can be, perhaps, saying, you know, on this question. Now, if you look at the question of infrastructure, over a 10-year period, government is putting $6 billion into infrastructure in our institution. And institutions themselves are also complementing this to the tune of $2 billion. So it's $8 billion in total. Now some of this money, that is $1.69 billion, is for student housing facilities. $1.443 billion is going to be invested in historically disadvantaged. So that is the extent of us addressing this matter. There are other mechanisms that we are engaging on as a department to further complement what the fiscal as well as the resources of the institution have made available. For instance, engagement with CIC, DBSA, and lately, ASESA is an association of pastoral sites, and they are controlling about how much time? It's about 3 trillion, somewhere there.
Something like
that. Yeah, and they are committing substantial amount of money for social investment. There are those discussions that are taking place. So we do not confine ourselves only what the parliament and the executive have made available. We are also utilizing some opportunities innovatively that are in the offing out there. I think that one is taking a lot of our time, but we're focusing and there are commitments already in that the executive, I think, will speak quite elaborately on it. Now, the standard of education. What we admit in the system is coming from basic education. I think the minister is on record. Us as a country is not going to help us into saying the students that we are getting in the system are underprepared or overprepared, because this is what we have. We are not going to be exporting our youth to other countries and import another youth to come and be our own youth. The response then as a able to mitigate and address the challenges that they are having in relation to the background from which they are actually coming. On placement, engineering, and other related matters, I think what is happening here, one of the things that we have done when we realized that the question of placement is a challenge for the country, engaged with labor, business, various stakeholders, as well as government, state-owned enterprises, and that led into the signing of the National Skills Accord. Now, in that accord, there are specific targets for placement. I think the industry is committing to place about 12,000 FET graduates per annum and around 11,000 from universities of technology, etc., etc. Further on, there are one-on-one engagements we are doing with big companies, and also the companies from abroad that are operating here in the country. For instance, companies from Switzerland, companies from Germany, companies from Denmark. We are having programs in engaging with them, and they have opened up their spaces for this placement. Of lately, we took it to the level of the engagement at the cabinet level. And the cabinet took a decision that public space has to be open to be a training space. So there are targets per department, there are targets per provinces, there are targets per municipalities. So we are engaging on that and we are placing it. In our own department, it's over 200 to that say the intern. Yeah. Among others. And it's growing. And I must say the trend thus far is that students who get into this program, they find employment far relatively easier than a student who hasn't gone into this program. And the other area, we are also engaging with engineering countries of South Africa into the development, standardization, as well as accreditation of engineering programs and related qualifications that are offered in FET colleges so that they become amenable to the needs of the industry. So there's a program in that they've come on board, they've engaged with universities. Now we are actually taking this engagement to FET colleges. The last meeting we had, it was yesterday, and there's a program we are rolling out on this. And also in the development of the qualification of FET college lecturers, they are engaging in that space. So we've taken, Chair, the area, that the concerns that you are raising quite seriously, and we're integrating and mainstreaming in the work of the department. We've realized exactly what you're talking about. It doesn't matter. It doesn't help for the department to sit there and develop qualifications without engaging the industry, which is going to be utilizing these skills that we're developing. If we're developing skills for the economy, let the economy determine as to what kind of skills they need that will actually work in the country. Lastly, exam IT. In a minute. In the course of provision of IT systems, there is always innovation, updating. I suppose the cell phone I had in 1998 is no longer even in the market today. A lot of development that actually happened. Using the same principle, this question of IT infrastructure and equipment which is serving our examination environment, it has got its own shortcomings, which are born out of the natural and innovative evolution of technology. That is why when we pick up these problems and qualified the nature in which they present themselves, we engage the entire government executive, including CETA, and we actually agreed on the way forward in which we should be addressing this. And this, in actual fact, is the cabinet decision after they have made an assessment of the presentation that both the Department of Higher Education and Training and the Department of Public Service and Administration have presented to cabinet, because they are born under DPSA. So it's a matter that was actually taken into consideration and processed within the processes and systems of government, and then a decision was made. We are now in the process of implementing that decision for the good of the system. My colleague will quickly touch on other questions that are outstanding.
In 15 minutes.
In 15 minutes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, for 2 minutes.
The issue around the split between teachers and the NSF, which is a matter that arises from the skills development grade. For each and every employer, they must set aside 1% of their personnel budget. And that 1% is then split between the teachers and NSF. So it is regarded as the levy that employers pay. So it's a statutory matter, it's a statutory matter, and therefore if there's to be any need to change, we have to do a lot of research that will determine that need to change. For now, we don't see any need for that change, because it's a matter covered by legislation. With regards to, but the NSF chief behind me saying he welcomes that change, I wonder what that means. The second part is with regards to the demand for Bonamica. Now, part of the reason why we have not had target on academic development, it is because we are trying to look at areas of scarcity across the country. And the studies that we have currently also informed by our workplace skills plan that we derive from CETA, clearly determine that your electrical, mechanical trades in particular are the ones that are displaying a serious shortage. But I'm sure honorable member can engage with that information that you're indicating, so that you can then possibly look at and provide our database as well. But that is the database we have as regards to of demand. And lastly, the grant regulation, it is meant, among others, to strengthen the pivotal program, but also in relation to web-based training as well. It will not impact adversely on the nation, because I thought one of them was more worried about the calibration in a way impacting adversely on the nation. The nation are part of programs of CETA, and therefore that will continue. We have clear target and a very huge target, even for the current financial year. Now, that process is informed by the strategic plan that CETA prepared, which one of members at any point could even invite us to come into presentation of the president, so that we can then begin to engage favorably in terms of the content of those content, including the target around the nation. Thank you.
University?
Thank you, PP. I think most of the questions were covered. There are just three areas. The one is on the new university. In terms of the provision of the budget, a total amount of 2.1 billion has been put aside in the MPES for the development of both of those universities over the first 3-year period, and that's in line with the implementation plan that we have in place. And then this leads me to the other question, which is, was around how are we going to have the university ready to start in 2014? I think it's one of the strategic decisions we made quite early on in the development of this university was to these universities to understand that they were developmental in nature and that we would have an implementation plan that would develop them over a period of time. It's not a big bang approach to the startup of these institutions. And if we look at the history of the startup of institutions in our country, for example, really strong universities like WITS, like UCT, and so on, they all started with something small. In fact, there's a fabulous story about this, where they built the facade of the Great Hall, and then behind it they had some shacks, and they started the university in some small buildings. I'm using shack in a strange way, but in some small buildings, and the university built itself up over time. So the institution itself, we're building the institution, the people and the program, and the building, and we can see them building parallel over a 10-year development period in line with the implementation framework. So when we're starting up in 2014, it will not be a new building. It will be an existing building that are already there, and we're going to be starting, for example, in the Northern Cape with three specific programs that have been identified, and with a maximum of about 50 students in each of those programs. So we start building the capacity as we go along in partnership with existing universities. And that answers the other question around the issue of the human resource development for these universities. We are not thinking of having them fully staffed for the 10-year period immediately, and there is a development program in relation to how we will work with existing universities to develop the human resource capability for these particular programs, including a staff development program where we identify young staff that will be put on master's and PhD programs to become part of the new university staff. In terms of the accommodation issue in relation to the new universities, we recognize the problem of accommodation across the system in our existing universities, and so therefore we have planned right up front for that issue. So the new university in the Northern Cape, for example, is being planned so that 80% of its students will be accommodated on campus. And the new university in Mpumalanga is being planned so that 60% of its students will be accommodated on the campus. And that's partly where the cost of developing the infrastructure for the new university comes from. Then following up in terms of the student accommodation, following the report, from the ministerial report, we have developed a new draft policy on the minimum standards for student accommodation, which was published on the 11th of April, and it is out for public comments right now. We are expecting those comments to come in by the end of April, and then at that point in time we will be looking at the comments and developing a full policy that will be implemented across the system. The need for student accommodation is large, and our ideal for the system is to work towards a point at which we would have up to 80% of students, between 60 and 80% of students in campus accommodation in rural and disadvantaged contexts, and in more advantaged and urban contexts from 30 to 50% of students in accommodation. But that's a long-term project. That's a 20-year project. In the meantime, substantial funding has been put aside, and we're looking at up to around about 9 to 10,000 new beds being developed over the next, the MTEC, plus possibly an additional 10,000 beds from the additional funding that we're leveraging through these other programs that the DG indicated. The last question was this issue around the Central Application Service. And we have not heard about this brokering of applications. We are aware of the central application service that is offered in KZN through the COA, but if we could get details about this and information about it, that would be helpful, and we'll follow up and try to understand what the issues are and deal with it. Thank you.
As I reported earlier on, we have 1,028
council to talk about the interventions that they're putting in place to make sure that the increase, you know, becomes consistent, and I can just touch on the few. We have adopted a multi-pronged approach that actually interrogates the key areas of the teaching and learning, you know, and within the FEP colleges. One of it is what was previously talked about in terms of the capacity of our lecturers in the colleges, and therefore this is why we have introduced, you know, FEP lecturer development qualifications. That's the long-term one. But in the short term, we also have interventions that focus specifically to the teaching of math and science in the colleges. Now, in the learning environment, we are actually implementing the student support services framework, which actually talks to the development and the support of the students from the time they enter, you know, the college through, you know, appropriate places within appropriate programs, an interrogation of their capacities and inefficiencies, and therefore, while they are studying, they get supported until they use the program. But what we are also doing now, which we introduced here through the leadership of the
teaching,
is that we have started now a new intervention where, after analysis of the results, we now, you know, interrogate the results college by college, and we actually now request the senior management led by the principal to account for that performance and to specifically now give an improvement plan for the year, which we're going to incorporate into their performance agreement. So this is something new that we think will give a shock to the system and activate them into better performance.
Remember, are you saying your question has not been answered?
Yes, just one. I did not catch on the answer for the training of educators for the adult educators. Or adult trade, what do you call it? There's a new name now.
AET,
that's the one. Thank you very much. That answer.
Oh, no, basically it's part of our plan for teacher lecturer development.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got it in there. Thank you very much.
Hoping that the current schools that they are being used, we shift them not to learning those just only for us. I think we've heard in terms of what the country means in terms of the skills, the challenges embedded in the academic freedom and autonomy. Of now they in the FET also, but still they've not yet realized that they have that academic freedom. So the decisions that we take, they end up binding us. But also the sunset clauses, we have to mobilize more so that we get 2/3 majority and then take away this academic freedom from the constitution. Thank you very much, DJ, with your torch. Thank you, members. It's 12:31. 33. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. We will then meet and then follow up on these other issues in terms of how to trim direction and all those things. Okay, because there will be noise. Can you make it?
Yes. We have a meeting 1 o'clock in the meeting.
The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You recorded. You recorded me.
Everybody.